Let's talk craft brewing on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. Wisconsin is home to 205 craft brewers. That places us 14th in the nation, according to the most recent data from the Brewers Association, a nonprofit trade group. Craft brewing industry will surely take a hit, though, this year as tap rooms and bars, brew pubs, they've usually been a big source of income for small breweries, and they closed amid the pandemic last spring and then maybe only partially reopened in recent months. What will fall and winter months bring? Share your stories about a favorite craft brewer or what it's like to be in the industry. We're at 800-642-1234. Frank Kazuba is Director of Brewing Operations at Earth Rider Brewery in Superior. Frank, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And Erica DeAnda is head brewer at Tumbled Rock Brewery and Kitchen in Baraboo. Erica, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, Erica, let's start with you. Tell us about the atmosphere at Tumbled Rock and what kind of beer people can taste there.
So we're very laid back. We have a huge patio with we did have outdoor games, things like that, but just a huge laid back space. You can get fired oven pizzas, things like that. And then my beer style is super traditional, very old school. My background is primarily in English cask ale. So I do a lot of English style ales, a lot of Belgian beers, just very, very traditional, beers.
Yeah. You also like Russian imperial style beers. Is that right?
I do, yes.
Can you tell us what that is, what they taste like?
Yeah, they tend to be I like them because they tend to have a thicker mouthfeel.
Okay.
They're very boozy. You get a lot of dark chocolate notes. It's just a really great style. And I could drink it year-round. A lot of people tend to drink it in the fall and the wintertime. But I think it's a great year-round beer.
Frank, what about you? How is Earth Rider doing and what's the atmosphere like there?
Well, we've been really fortunate that our community has supported us through the trials and tribulations of COVID-19. We have a tap room that we have actually not reopened, but we're fortunate that we have a large outdoor space, or kind of our festival space that had been until this year, that we've reimagined as an outdoor tap room. So we've got tables, picnic tables kind of spaced out over the field and outdoor service. So a pretty safe environment for people to come. And we've built a stage. So we've got music a lot of nights a week and other activities like a little bit of yoga. Actually, we've got some goat yoga coming up this weekend, which I think is pretty interesting. But it's been a really good summer.
So what type of beers are you serving?
We serve a wide variety of beers as well. Actually, we really enjoy doing as many German lagers and lagers in general as we can. So we've got a Pilsner as our seasonal right now. We'll be starting up doing a Fest beer, a traditional German beer for autumn here pretty soon. We also do some hoppy beers, pale ales, and IPAs and stouts. So pretty wide range of things.
Yeah, I'm wondering, what might Oktoberfest bring for you? What are you thinking?
Well, we have our anniversary party coming up in the middle of September, and we're limiting attendance because we want people to feel safe. It's all outside, but, you know, socially distanced and mask wearing is required when you're not sitting at your table and drinking a beer. And but we also plan on having an Oktoberfest celebration in early October. So, having that outside space is really key for people's comfort and safety.
Erica, what about you? What are you thinking about Oktoberfest and what the fall might bring?
I'm a little bit nervous about the fall, to be honest, just because our outdoor space, I'm from California, so cold weather for me is like I'm inside. But I know a lot of people who, were born and raised in Wisconsin will be outside until, for a good while. And then we are doing, I just did a Marzen for an Oktoberfest. We have our anniversary party actually on October 3rd as well. We have some live music coming in. We're going to be doing actually a barrel-aged bottle release for that. So we're trying to just do as many little things as we can, but we're a brand new brewery. We just opened. October 3rd is going to be like our first year anniversary party. So we're hoping just to do it as safely and have as much fun as possible under the current circumstances.
Yeah, you just said barrel-aged bottle experience. Tell me about what you're thinking there.
Yeah, so I brewed a Scotch ale a while ago, and then we have a wonderful distillery here in Baraboo, Driftless Glen, and as soon as we opened, I immediately partnered with them because I knew that I wanted to get stuff from another local craft beverage maker. So I got bourbon barrels from them, and this Scotch ale has been aging in it for a good 6-7 months now. So we're going to be releasing that, and we're really excited about it. I tasted it the other day, and it's tasting great.
Oh, good. We have, if you're just joining us, Erica DeAnda, who is the head brewer at Tumbled Rock Brewery and Kitchen in Baraboo. Frank Kazuba is here, Director of Brewing Operations at Earth Rider Brewery in Superior. We're talking about craft brewing on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend and your favorite beers to taste in the summer months and as we head into fall. Do you want to give a shout out to a local brewer or the brewing community that you enjoy? Join in at 800-642-1234. Frank, I still have flashbacks to having a tour of your brewery when we broadcast from Superior, and it just was so remarkable. I never understood just how so much machinery goes into the actual brewing process and just how much, I guess, the infrastructure that's there. In these difficult times, how do you make sure that your bottom line stays okay?
Well, it's certainly challenging, and it's especially, you know, this spring, it seemed like it was changing very quickly, trying to adapt to figure out how we were going to be able to make it in this environment. And we're really fortunate because we are a packaging brewery, so we've had beers in 12-ounce cans and six-packs for a couple of years now and have had good relationships with our liquor stores that we're in, and really a lot of the beer consumption switched from when bars and restaurants closed to people picking up beer at liquor stores. So we were very fortunate that we were positioned to take advantage of that.
Is aluminum a problem for you right now? There's been an aluminum shortage.
There is definitely, even more specifically, a can shortage.
Can shortage. Because, mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's only so much manufacturing capacity for cans, just like anything else. And because of COVID-19, more breweries are putting beer in cans, but other products and other food realms even are switching over to cans, like canned cocktails, more wine showing up in cans, wine drinks. So the demand for cans has really skyrocketed. So there's actually a pretty good shortage nationwide right now on cans. And not that they're going to run out anytime soon. It's just that with the increased demand, there's not enough for everybody to go around. And I know that the big canning manufacturers are working on expanding their capacity. So,
Erica, are you having any difficulty getting any of your ingredients and materials?
Luckily, I have not had any issues with that because we are a smaller brew pub. So we actually never packaged beer in bottles or cans or anything until recently. When COVID hit and the shelter in place started, we were kind of thinking about what we could do. But being a brand new brewery, we were kind of like, oh my gosh, what can we do? So I ended up buying bottles, and I bought a tiny little hand bottling machine. So we've kind of adapted, but I haven't had any trouble, luckily for myself.
We're spending the hour with our craft brewing community and seeing how they're holding up. Erica DeAnda is head brewer at Tumbled Rock Brewery and Kitchen in Baraboo. Frank Kazuba is brewing operations director at Earth Rider in Superior. How is your favorite craft brewery doing? What is your favorite beer as the summer winds down? We're at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more Wisconsin Weekend here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about craft brewers on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin produced more than 883,000 barrels of craft beer in 2019, according to the Brewers Association. That's the trade group that represents thousands of craft brewers. How has the pandemic changed the way you enjoy beer? Have you started ordering takeout beers instead of going to your local tap room? What's your favorite beer this summer? Do you have recommendations for fall and Oktoberfest beers? Be part of this 800-642-1234. We feel like we have the perfect pairing with brewmasters Frank Kazuba at Earthrider in Superior and Erica DeAnda at Tumbled Rock Brewery in Baraboo. They stay with us. Let's take a call now. Dan is joining us from Racine County. Hi, Dan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I hope you can hear this okay. I am asking about, I started brewing with some friends during COVID. They had done a lot of brewing, and we love it. I learned so much, but I have a question about maybe the last process. We seem to have products that come out, and they are not fizz. We do bottle at the end, and then we let it age or for a month or so, and then sometimes when we open it, it doesn't quite fizz. So very interested in hearing about that, whether there's a way to accomplish that. And I know you guys brew in a lot larger quantities than we do, but just my question is that.
Great, Dan. Thank you so much. Frank, let's start with you on any recommendations.
Sure. I'm assuming that Dan is bottle conditioning his beer. In other words, they're adding a little bit of sugar at the end of the process and then putting the beer into bottles. And then the yeast that's remaining is active, ferments that sugar, creates carbonation. So it's possible that the sugar quantity is not large enough, or that the beer isn't being held warm enough for that period of time for that yeast to create that carbonation.
Dan, are you still there?
Yeah, I still am here.
Are you adding any sugar at the end?
We generally do add a little sugar. I think the guys have been doing it for a long time, so we add usually a little bit of sugar, sometimes some champagne hops or something like that, I think is what he called it. Maybe it's not hops, champagne yeast, I guess.
Okay.
So that's kind of what we've been doing.
Erica, can you have any insights here?
I would actually suggest the same thing that Frank suggested. Also, when I worked at my English Cask Ale brewery, what we would do too is we would mix our priming sugar with a little bit of water and a little bit of yeast from racking from current beers, and that got us a really nice carbonation after letting it bottle condition. But I would suggest the same thing, a little bit warmer temperature and maybe a little bit more priming sugar.
All right, Dan, good luck. Thank you so much for calling in. Well, I want to ask you both how you got started in brewing and what really drew you to craft brewing. Frank, let's start with you. How did you get in it?
Well, I was actually living in Denver many years ago, and I went to this huge, well, it's now a huge beer festival called the Great American Beer Festival, but that was back in 1990, and it was still relatively small at the time, and there were all these, you know, crazy beers, and I grew up, I mean, I went to college in southern Wisconsin and drank a lot of Line and Kugels during college, so that's kind of what my palate was used to, and then I was drinking all these crazy flavors, and I didn't know if I really liked them or not, but that was kind of the start of me introducing my palate to different flavors in beer, and soon afterwards started home brewing and really get into brewing.
What about you, Erica? What caught your interest?
I actually got a job as a server at a small brew pub out in Oakland where I'm from, and I really just hated waiting tables. I hated serving. I was trying to find a better career for myself, and I kind of started tasting different beers, and then next thing I know, I'm hanging out on the brew deck with the head brewer. And then I kind of jumped around from job to job, going from like beer tending to packaging. So I actually worked my way from serving and beer tending to packaging to interning at a small brewery to getting a job as an assistant brewer and now head brewer. I also worked as a I worked as a production brewer for a good while, which was a great experience. So I kind of just worked my way through the industry. And basically when someone told me I couldn't do it, I was like, okay. And then just found my way to head brewing.
And, you know, I you probably get this a lot, but being a woman in a pretty male dominated space, what is that like?
It's not any different, honestly. I now when people ask me that question, it's kind of just like, I don't know. I don't feel any different. I'm regarded as the same as my male peers. But I do think it's pretty cool that I am paving the way for a younger generation of women to see that brewing is a viable option for jobs for them and that they can do it. But women were the original brewers, and that's kind of what I tell people is that originally it was kitchen work.
We're talking about craft brewing on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Erica DeAnda is head brewer at Tumbled Rock Brewery and Kitchen in Baraboo. Frank Kazuba, director of brewing operations at Earth Rider Brewery in Superior. You can join in with your questions about brewing, home brewing, your favorite beers that you enjoy in the summer, and what you're looking forward to Oktoberfest. Join in 800-642-1234. Frank, do you find that you can be creative in brewing, that there is room for creativity? And if so, where is it?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of room for creativity. That's my background is in science. I got a bachelor's and a master's degree in sciences, biology and geology. So there's certainly a lot of science in brewing, but boy, there's a lot of creativity when it comes to making just the right recipe for that perfect beer. And so I think it's fascinating because it's kind of like science meets creativity. And really the creative part comes through a lot in trying to get those flavors just to where you want them. I think it's amazing that you can taste a beer and try and pick it apart and figure out how you would accomplish making that same beer. And with all the different ingredients that are out there, there's so many different kinds of malt and hops and yeast that the combinations are practically endless. I mean, I could make a different beer every day for the rest of my life and not use up all the possible combinations that are out there. So that continues to fascinate me.
Erica, where do you find inspiration for flavors or where you want to go with the beers that you serve?
I kind of find it everywhere. I don't really pay attention to trends. I'm fortunate to work for people who let me have full creative freedom in the brew house, which is awesome because I can brew what I want. But I try to look at things that I like to drink and that I think other people would like to drink. I try to do beer styles that you don't necessarily see on the shelves every day. But I kind of just draw inspiration from
Oh, I think.
everything, specifically my family and friends too.
When do you realize that maybe a beer is not going to work out? When do you know when to stop working with a beer and say, let's just let this one go? I'm going to focus on something else.
I think when you see the sales, for me, when you see sales on a beer that's not doing well,
Okay.
that's when it's kind of in time to let it go, maybe.
Let's take another call now. Ben in Partyville is with us. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What would you like to add?
My question is more for Erica. I was actually just at the Tumbled Rock on Tuesday, and we were wondering, how do you decide what glass to pour the beer in? Some are in the chalice or goblet style, some are in the more traditional glass. Is that Erica's job to decide or the bartender's?
That's a great question. Erica, can you do the big reveal?
So that actually is my choice. When I am releasing the beer, I let the staff know we're going to serve it in this style of glass. Usually it depends on the beer style. It depends on the ABV. You know, if we have a 9% beer, we obviously don't want to overserve. So we're not going to serve you a 16-ounce 9% beer. We're going to serve you an 8-ounce and a small tulip. You know, for the lighter beers, you're going to get a big 16-ounce pour. You can get a 22-ounce pour. So it kind of depends on the beer style, the ABV. And the style of beer is how I determine what glass it goes into.
Frank, what do you think about presentation and when you're serving a beer?
Well, presentation is hugely important, and choosing the right glass for the beer makes a world of difference. For years, I had always, before I learned more about different kinds of glassware, I had drank beer out of just a shaker pint, a normal 16-ounce glass. And I went to a presentation once where they were trying different glassware and trying the same beer in a shaker pint, which is really not designed to serve beer in, versus like a beer designed glass, just really opened my eyes to the possibilities, because it's like drinking two different beers, even though it's the same beer in two different glasses. So having a beer appropriate glass changes the experience. And really, when somebody comes to visit our brewery, comes to visit our tap room, we really want them to have the best experience possible.
And so that presentation is all part of, it's not just the beer, it's also what it's served in is also a really important part of it.
Absolutely, yes.
We have our brewing brain trust, if you will, Frank Kazuba at Earthrider in Superior, Erica DeAnda at Tumbled Rock Brewery in Baraboo. A shout out to Angry Minnow in Hayward with its River Pig American Pale Ale and Oakey's Oatmeal Stout. Broken Bat Brewery and Tap Room moved to the Walker's Point neighborhood of Milwaukee, where its summer classic Safe at Home IPA is on tap. And hello to Delafield Brewhouse, where the Mango Sunset Lager is on tap. Give a shout out to your favorite craft brewer or tap room. It's 800-642-1234. We'll talk more about the craft brewing industry in our state. Maybe hear from you after this news update on the Ideas Network. We've made our way to Friday, and we're talking craft brewing on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There are 205 craft brewers in Wisconsin, and let's give a shout-out to Doosterbeck's Brewing Company, set on a 150-year-old farm outside of Elkhorn. It has the Crop Dooster Cream Ale and Pig Farmer Pale Ale. Explorium's tap list in Greendale includes the Biker Juice Citrus Rattler, which they say is a refreshing patio pounder. It's grapefruit soda blended with a light lager base. What's your favorite summer beer? What are you looking forward to as Oktoberfest draws near? It's 800-642-1234. We have our brewmasters, Frank Kazuba at Earthrider in Superior and Erica DeAnda at Tumbled Rock Brewery in Baraboo. They stay with us. Well, let's talk more about beers that you enjoy. Erica, starting with you, you appreciate the Settle Down Tavern American Lager by Full Mile Beer Company. Is that right?
Yes, I would even be willing to say that was probably my favorite beer I had all summer.
What do you love about it?
And I'm not just saying this because their head brewer is a dear friend of mine, but it was just so crisp, so clean. The hops that he used were just... they were lightly fruity without overwhelming the nice like crispness that you get from a lager. It was just one of the most memorable beer experiences I have had in a long time. I sat in the backyard and drank it, and it was just the perfect summer beer.
Oh, did it have some good balance as well?
It did, yes. It was everything that I ever want in a lager, and it was perfect. I still dream about that beer constantly. I'm like, I can't get enough of it.
Love it first swallow. I love it. Okay. Well, Frank, what have you been appreciating lately? What are you drinking?
Well, you know, I've been falling back to some classic beers that I hadn't had in a while, and one that I had recently that is honestly a desert island beer for me is it's called Saison DuPont from Belgium. Just this wonderfully spicy, really dry, bubbly, effervescent, super complex Saison that I don't know how they make it. It's so wonderfully complex and just keeps drawing me back in.
I was just going to ask you, how do they make it?
Yeah, a lot of it is the yeast and how they deal with the fermentation, but they also, I'm sure they have some other tricks up their sleeve.
Erica, do you like complex beers like this?
I do, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's a great beer that he's talking about, too. It's so great.
What do you like about it?
Basically the same thing. It's just, it's so great. Every time you drink it, it's a unique beer drinking experience. It's just a classic, so true to style, so great.
I want to talk about Tumble Rock's first sour beer. I'm not sour about this. And I love the name of the beer. And you put tons of strawberries into it?
Yeah, so I named it that because I personally am not a huge sour beer fan, but everybody had been asking me to do a sour beer, so I finally said, okay, fine, summertime, I'll make you a sour beer. And we have a great berry company here, the Berry Farmer, and you can go pick your own strawberries. Well, I didn't have time to pick 60 pounds, so they graciously picked 60 pounds for me. I went and picked them up. hand cut them, hand blended them, dumped them onto the fermenter. And I also used Himalayan sea salt and a bit of lime.
Ooh.
So we still got like this like salted strawberry lime. And it was just, I've been drinking that one all summer too, even though I'm not a sour beer fan. I think it's just, it's a great, the strawberry, the tartness, a little bit of salt. It's just, it's a really great summer beer.
So
I'm pretty proud of it.
You've got the tart going, you've got the slightly sweet, you've got some salty. What is the aroma like?
The aroma does have a nice like tart strawberry smell to it. You do get a bit of that lime zest off of it. And then kind of, I don't know how to describe like that sour smell that you get off of it. That's just really nice. It's just, it's a really easy drinking summer beer and it seems to go over pretty well. And I actually just am releasing my second sour beer today because of how well the strawberry one's doing.
Frank, have you worked in sour beers at all or anything like that?
We have actually, Erica's right. I mean, they are hugely popular with some people. It's a love-hate thing, I believe. It's either something you really, really like or something you want to avoid. And we have a series of beers. Right now, the one we're doing is called Raspicrush, and it's a raspberry tart beer. Certainly not as bracingly sour as a lot of ones on the market. We actually do a blend of a little bit of a unique process where we blend. Part of our fermentation is with an acidified wort, and part of it was with a non-acidified wort. So we end up with kind of a balance, and then we ferment it on a whole lot of raspberry puree. And the thing I like about that is when you ferment the fruit, you get rid of a lot of the sweetness. And I'm not a fan of really sweet fruit beers in general, but when you ferment out that sugar from the raspberry, you're left with really the essence of the raspberry. And that, in along with the that acidity, really brings out wonderful flavors. Acidity is really an ingredient. It's a tool that chefs use in making food. You know, putting some lemon or some vinegar in a dish can really bring out different flavors. Well, brewing is no different, and acidity can be used as a really powerful ally as an ingredient.
Well, let's take another call now. Jerry is joining us from Glendale. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. Thank you so much. I want to give a tip of the hat to the brewmasters you have, as well as all the others in the state, for all the creativity that you have in coming up with just a wide range of beers. As people know, prior to Prohibition, almost every little town, city, village had a brewery. Prohibition knocked that off, and this is great that craft beers are coming back. In the summertime, my favorite beers are Amber and Dunkel, and then in the wintertime, a more hearty beer, a Doppelbock. And a question for your brewmasters, how do you come up with some of the creative names that you have for the individual craft beers that you brew?
Jerry, I love that question. Erica, we'll start with you.
I am terrible at naming beers. I rely heavily on my staff and the owners to help me come up with beer names, because if it was up to me, they would be called beer number one, beer number two. Because I get very creative when it comes to the brewing process, but when it comes to the naming process, I just draw blanks every time. So I rely heavily on my staff and my friends and the world around me for inspiration.
Well, we appreciate that you're paying so much more attention to the actual beer and the brewing process, and you'll let the naming go to the others. Frank, what about you? How do you come up with names?
Well, it's usually by committee with some of us at the brewery. Honestly, I have an easier time coming up with names when I'm actually drinking beer and not thinking about coming up with a name for a beer.
Mm.
Like, hey, you know what? This would be a great name for beer. And I sometimes remember to write it down and actually have come back and use that at times. But yeah, it's certainly kind of a committee approach and decide what's going to work well for it.
Do you have any recommendations for beers Jerry should try?
Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you, he did mention Doppelbock, which is one of my all-time favorite styles, especially something to have in the cooler months. And we've got a Doppelbock that we released in the spring and still have some available. I'm not trying to remember. Actually, Capital Brewing makes some wonderful Doppelbocks. They actually have two different ones that they had done in recent years, and that would be something I would give a try if you haven't.
Well, Jerry, thanks for calling in. We're talking about craft brewing with Frank Kazuba, who's Director of Brewing Operations at Earth Rider in Superior, and Erica DeAnda, who's head brewer at Tumbled Rock Brewery and Kitchen in Baraboo. Taking your questions as well and your insights, your favorite beers, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Russ now in Pleasant Springs. Hi, Russ.
Good morning. I had a question about beer. Several years ago, I received a gift subscription, one of those where you get different beers every month for a year. And, of course, I did not recognize most of the names, but I did come across one in particular that I really, really I enjoyed the taste. And I studied the label, and it was some brewery from the East Coast, but it was called India Pale Ale, or IPA, and I know there's a lot of breweries out there making IPA beer, and I'm wondering what makes anybody's beer an IPA?
Great question, Russ. Frank, let's start with you.
Yeah, so India Pale Ale is a very, very popular style. It's almost hard to have a brewery without an IPA in it because they have become very popular, and there's different history involved with it. It's originally a British style. And the legend goes that they were shipping beer to India, and they found that if they added extra hops that had survived the voyage by ship from England around the southern tip of Africa over to India, much better with a lot of hops. And it is true that hops have antibacterial qualities to them, which is why it's an ingredient found in almost every beer out there. And but I mean, as we sometimes do in the United States, add a lot more of something, make it bigger and better. And so our IPAs
especially in Texas
way hoppier than any British IPAs ever were. And but now with hazy IPAs coming out too, that's a whole nother realm of beers, and that have become really popular because they're not bitter at all. Usually when you add a lot of hops to a beer, it could become more bitter, but in this case with hazy IPAs, you're adding them very late in the process, usually during the beer's fermentation, and so you don't get as much bitterness out, but you can get a lot of fruity flavors out of the hops in that case, and that's been really popular in recent years.
Erica, why are IPAs such crowd pleasers?
You know, I think it's just because you get so much different flavors coming out of IPAs with the, like Frank said, with the different hops that come into play. I mean, you can mix and match, and you know, each beer can have the same hops, but the way that the brewmaster adds them, it can give a unique beer drinking experience each time. And I think they've just grown so popular for that reason.
We're talking with craft brewers Erica DeAnda at Tumbled Rock Brewery in Baraboo. Frank Kazuba heads up brewing operations at Earth Rider in Superior. Shout out to G5 Brewing Company in Beloit. They won't seat new customers between 3 and 4 while they sanitize. Love their tagline. It's curiosity-driven, beer-obsessed. Hello to Grumpy Troll Brew Pub in Mount Horeb, where the business as usual double IPA is on tap. And the Lone Girl Brewing Company in Wanakee has Octoberish Ale on tap. Let's talk about your favorite craft brewers and the craft brewing community at large. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. Let's get back to our conversation about the craft brewing industry in Wisconsin with Frank Kazuba at Earth Rider in Superior and Erica DeAnda at Tumbled Rock Brewery and Kitchen in Baraboo. Frank, I want to talk more about Earth Rider beers. You have the Royal Bohemian. What do you like about that?
Yeah, the Royal Bohemian Pilsner is our summer seasonal. And it's been very popular. It's created by our head brewer here, Allison Rolfe. And it's just a wonderful, simple German Pilsner with all German ingredients and Lake Superior water. Crisp and refreshing, great summer beer.
What's different about the Lake Superior water?
Well, we're really fortunate because Lake Superior has really soft water, so very low mineral content. And depending on beer styles that you're making, you may want to add more ions like calcium or sulfate or chloride. So you can add salts to the water during the brewing process to get it to where you want it to be. And those different salt levels, or those different ion levels, bring out different flavors in the beer. And when you start with really soft water, you could brew a beer like a Pilsner, which traditionally is made with very soft water, or you can add more minerals to it to brew different beer styles. Mm. A lot of styles originated or were popularized in brewing, classic brewing regions of the world based on the water content that was there. For instance, it'd be very difficult to make, or impossible to make, a German Pilsner with really hard water because the hops would come through as really astringent and bitter, and it would not be a pleasant beer.
It reminds me of this story. Once I was eating at this pizzeria, and they explained in their process of making the pizza and the yeast that they imported their tap water from New York City in order to make it more closely New York style. And so it made me realize that water matters. Erica, do you do anything to your water?
Yes. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I do. I treat my water depending on beer style as well. We have our own well water, which is really great. But depending on the beer style, I will add some brewing salts in there.
I want to make sure that we get time to talk, Erica, about the Nyx by Faction Brewing. And I hope I'm saying it right, NYX. This is that
yes.
Russian Imperial style beer. Can you kind of walk us through this beer?
Yeah, so actually the one that I had, a girlfriend of mine sent it to me. Faction's a brewery out in Alameda, California. It's one of my personal favorite breweries out in California. And they did, where they're located right next to St. George's Distillery, which is one of the best distilleries, I think, in the United States. And they aged this Russian Imperial Stout in whiskey barrels from St. George. And it was just such a pleasant beer drinking experience. Like I said, I like the Russian Imperial Stout because I like the mouthfeel of it. Mm-hmm. It's a bit on the thicker side. It's boozy. That you got smooth vanilla and like oak from the whiskey barrels. And it was just such a fun beer drinking experience. And the fact that it was shipped out here from my girlfriend made it even more special to me. But it was just one of those beers that was just so, so great. And I'm sad that I have already drank it.
Frank, what do you think of those subscription packages that kind of open up you to other beers? Do you have any recommendations on those subscriptions?
Well, I think they're a wonderful idea because, again, you can be exposed to beer that you wouldn't be able to get at your local liquor store. It can really open your mind to the possibilities of what's out there and maybe even spur interest to do some beer tourism and travel to a different place to taste their beers. I couldn't recommend any particular ones. I haven't been following those closely for some time, but I think it could be a wonderful idea.
Well, as we start to wrap up here, I'm wondering what the fall might bring for you and what influences are going to be in your beer. Frank, you go ahead.
Yeah, and as the fall comes, I like to move towards a little bit maltier beers in general, hence like our Fest beer, which we're just releasing here coming up pretty soon at the beginning of September. I love drinking beer in the fall, being outside. I'm not a real hot weather person. So I'm usually escaping the heat and air conditioning, so I'm really thankful when the weather starts to cool off. And so something like a Fest beer, or again, a Doppelbach, or Imperial Stout, bigger beers, boozier beers, I think are a lot more palatable when the weather starts to cool down for me.
Well, thank you both for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Erica DeAnda is head brewer at Tumbled Rock Brewery and Kitchen in Baraboo. Frank Kazuba is director of brewing operations at Earth Rider Brewery in Superior. And for disclosure, Earth Rider is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Carl Christensen with a story about a family business.
Running a family business can instill pride and a valuable work ethic that circulates through the household. Wisconsin writer Nancy Jorgensen shares a story about growing up around her father's printing business and its lasting impact on future generations of the family.
My dad's work shirts, button down, short sleeved, white or blue, smelled like ink. The scent radiated, faint each morning when he wore a clean one, heavy in the evenings after a day in the shop. When ink dries, it releases the scent of aldehydes, ketones, and carboxylic acids. To me, it was the aroma of security, pride, and hard work. My dad birthed his offset printing company the same year I was born, in 1954, when paper companies and print shops flourished in Wisconsin. During the day, he ran jobs in another printer's shop, and in the evenings, he operated his own press. He worked from our basement, where paper and color became brochures, pamphlets, and books. While my mother fed and tended to me, he nurtured his other baby. Like twins, the business and I grew together. Within a few years, my dad quit his day job and bought more presses, cameras, a cutter, folder, stitcher, and drill. He mortgaged a building and created a pressroom, darkroom, bindery, and office. He stocked paper, glue, and ink. An entrepreneur, he grew a business alongside his family, and soon I had a brother and sister. The business sent my siblings and me to college, and in the summer between semesters, I worked in the bindery. My fingers studied the sensations of gloss, matte, and silk. My arms weighed the difference between a newspaper and the sheets of a magazine. As ideas and information became leaflets and publications, I inhaled the chemicals straight from their ink-soaked pages. My dad chose a business for the future, a legacy for our family, a product that would always be in demand. Didn't every college need a course brochure? Didn't every auction need a catalog? Didn't every city need a wall calendar? He paid a fair wage to salesmen, pressmen, cameramen, and secretaries, and he carved room in the budget for donations to local schools, to the Park and Recreation Department, to the Shainstadt sisters, in their long black habits, who needed materials for their retreats. My dad died before the collapse of Wisconsin's printing industry. Confident, he left my brother a profitable legacy. But when colleges and auctions and city governments moved information online and print shops around the state folded, my brother said, "Dad would want me to face reality and make tough choices." My grandson Stanley, 2.5 years of age, learns songs from YouTube. He pinches a screen to watch a favorite show. He shouts at the alarm on my phone, "Hey Google, stop!" He is a child of Wi-Fi, of FaceTime, of Instagram, of Twitter, and his parents buy more broadband than number two pencils, more 4G than spiral notebooks. But when Stanley is tired, he offers me his favorite book. "Grandma, read?" He strokes the fur on a page about animals. He screams siren sounds at a page about fire trucks. He sniffs the image of a rose on a page about flowers. When Stanley is older, I will show him my drawer full of his great-grandpa's work. Covers and insides, shiny and black, or clean and white, or textured and variegated. Relics of a not-so-long-ago time and a man who made an imprint.
That was writer and Waukesha native Nancy Jorgensen. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Carl Christensen.
Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your suggestions for Wisconsin Weekend to ideas@wpr.org, and we'll explore your tip for a future Wisconsin Weekend program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.